Exactly.
All right, we're in this multi-million dollar building, and I got a box with a stand on it. Way to go, Hagen. Just to start off, very excited to get the off-season started last week here at the TCO Performance Center. You guys had an opportunity to see our players work out today, an opportunity to talk to some of the players as well. And the energy, the sense of urgency that you feel in this building is pretty special. I know from the player's standpoint and the coach's standpoint as well. I'd like to thank Jamal Stevenson and his leadership through this whole process as we get prepared for this weekend. The coaches, the entire football operations from our scouts, Eric Sugarman and the medical, our psychologists, our intelligence doctors, A to Z. There's a lot of people that are involved in this process to help us make the best decisions we can possibly make. It is truly a team effort as we get ready to finalize our board, which we did today, and to get ready to go this weekend. This is the last chance during the offseason that you have an opportunity to really make a significant change to your roster. We were able to be aggressive in free agency. We got a key extension done so far with Eric Kendricks, and now this is truly the last piece of the puzzle where you can make some significant changes to your roster. So we're always going to continue the philosophy of building through the draft, supplementing with free agency, and I anticipate this is, you know, the next step into building this 2018 roster. So with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Have you been a lot of action on trades or calls going back and forth, or is that pretty much?
Yeah, you know, the trade thing, I know everybody talks about wanting to trade up, trade down. There's always, I've had four calls over the last 2 days where we're picking. But I truly, you don't know, you know, and I wish I could say, yeah, we'd love to trade out, but I don't want to trade out if there's a player that falls to us. You know, an example like a Dalvin Cook last year, then we went and traded up. So our philosophy on the trade, I think last year, we traded up twice and down seven times. It's not planned. It's more reactive to what's happening and how the names are falling off the board, and also, you know, what the depth is at that particular position. So if it's a deep class at a particular position and one of the areas that we want to try to address and we can move down and still get that player, sure, why wouldn't you do that? Because you get the benefit of having another draft pick or adding another potential player to your roster. Or if it's a significant situation where we felt last year twice on Friday, you know, I think we went up to get guys because we felt that strongly about it, not only with Dalvin Cook, but I think last year when you seen that center guard area start making a run, we weren't going to sit back where we were picking in the third round, and we were pretty aggressive to go up and get Pat, the guy that we coveted in the draft last year.
I'm betting it's a cinch you make a move. You'd love to make those moves, and you might want to.
How much you betting, Sid?
I bet.
How about Murray's gift certificates? I don't have enough of them.
Hey, Rick, when you're as aggressive in free agency as you guys were this year with Kirk, with others, does it take the pressure off at all going into the draft about, you know, you filled some big needs already before you get to draft day?
I don't think it never takes the pressure off. I think what it does is, especially where we're picking this year, which I would take, you know, two spots lower, but I would take this area every year we possibly can get it, is that it gives you a lot of flexibility on what direction you want to go. I know, you know, everybody in the mock world and the experts out there are saying it's O-line, 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 but when you look at your roster, you have to look at, okay, where are some other holes that you're going to have to fill? And if you look at, you know, that's why I'm looking at the 2019 roster as well, guys who are not under contract? What if there's a significant player that's there at 30 that could potentially fill a need, you know, may have a role this year, but definitely fill a need in the future? So you have to weigh in not only what your needs are this year, but I think we're in a position, especially at 30, that, you know, as everybody thinks, that we're locked in an offensive line. That's absolutely not the case. I think right now, the way our draft board's developed, we have five different positions that we can go in any direction, depending on how the board's fallen Thursday night.
Would you consider the offensive line a deep class this year?
I think in specific areas. I mean, I would say the center guard area is a pretty deep class. I think there's some offensive tackles in this class, but I think it may drop off a little quicker than the center guard area. So, you know, those are the things that are your way. And if Sid's prediction comes true and we do move out of the first round and you have three or four options, you know, at a particular position, and you can get that same player in the second round but also have an additional pick, why wouldn't you do that?
Let me ask you something about the three players you need to sign after this year, Barr and the other two. Do you have enough money to sign those guys?
Rob said we do. No, we're working on that. We're looking. It's a process, you know, and where the money's come in. I know we've tried to plan. I don't know where the next potential guy is. We'll continue to work through that. Usually the trigger point is right before training camp, is when we've got a lot of extensions done. So we'll monitor it. But that will not have any indication of what direction we go in the draft. We're going to, you know, you want to draft good football players is what you want to draft. And that's what we're going to do. I think the other thing that you have to be aware of is as we're going through these meetings and, you know, you're looking at players and there are a lot of good players, but he may be a good player in a different scheme. And I think the communication and that we have with the coaching staff and the personnel staff, and we sit there and we're group study. In fact, offensive, defensive coaches, I gave them a pot of players to look at and that are graded relatively in the same area. But we may go in a different direction than people anticipate because maybe that player is going to be a really good player, but he is going to be a really good player in a different system than the system we run. So that's where you have to be on the same page with the coaching staff, understanding the physical traits, what that player is going to be asked to do, whether from an offensive scheme standpoint or a defensive scheme standpoint.
What's something, Rick, have you made a decision on whether Mike Remmers will stay at right tackle or whether he could be a guard, and then how does that potentially influence how you might draft on the offensive line?
Well, Mike Remmers gives us some flexibility to go either direction if we do go offensive line. If you go with an interior player, then Mike Remmers, we feel, can play right tackle for us, and he can play at a winning level. If we go tackle, Mike Remmers can slide inside a guard like he had to during the playoffs, and he played winning football at guard. So when you have guys on your roster that can play multi-positions like that, that's what gives you the flexibility to go with best player. And that's what we look for a lot in the draft, too, is guys that can play, you know, Pat Elflein, for example, played guard, and then he was a center. So a lot of these guys were looked at. Can these tackles play guards? Can these guards play center? Can these centers play guards? Even on the defensive side of the ball, we do the same thing. So, but when you have players like that, it gives you the flexibility to go with best player available on your board.
You've been at this a while. Is there something that you feel you know now that you didn't when you started doing drafts?
I don't know. I'll let you know after the draft. That's what makes the draft to me so much fun. It's because it's so unpredictable. You can't predict what trades are going to happen in front of you. You can't predict what players are going to drop to you. And basically, you do all this prep, and this is the time of year where, you know, I've hammered so many different scenarios over the last 3 days. I mean, I can't tell you all weekend how much film we watched and how many scenarios I've put ourselves in, not only in at 30, but if we trade back and these players are available, are we just as happy with getting one of these players and another pick? You know, we went through scenarios through the bottom of the second, bottom of the third round right now. So, but that's the exciting part, because you don't know what you're going to experience, because it seems like you experience something new every year, what potentially happens.
Rick, you've talked a lot about wanting 10 picks over the years. When you're able to stockpile picks like that, is that more about having more swings at getting players, or does it give you flexibility?
I just always had the philosophy, if you can get to that amount or more, I think that you have a better chance of hitting on players. So, sure, you're going to have your misses, but, I mean, the more swings you get at the plate, better odds you have of hitting the ball. If you only get to bat twice, I mean, you have maybe 50-50 chance. If you get to bat 10 times, hopefully, in your 50-50 chance, your odds have increased pretty good. So I've always had the philosophy of getting as many of those picks, but also not passing up on good football players just to get the picks. There has to be a reason why, and there's a lot of thought that goes into it. You just don't do it to do it. You know, last year, for example, when we moved up twice on Friday, I was like, I think we only have 2 picks left for the rest of the draft. And then we ended up with whatever more we did on Thursday or on Saturday. So I just, you know, if a good player's there, you just take him. Or if a good player's falling, you go get him. Or if you have options to still get a good player and can get additional picks, then you do that. So it's not one set philosophy. And that's like I said, that's why you can't predict what's going to happen on draft day. And if we ended up with 4 players this year, but 4 significant players, I'd be just as happy with that.
Along those lines, you know, having those 10 picks, how much of a factor has that been in the success you've had, getting some key players in late rounds, and then what are some of the other factors that have led to that success?
I think, again, getting, like I said, taking as many swings that you can as you can down in those later rounds. And I think last year, which I wanted to improve on the most, was the college free agency and our approach and our philosophy in that area. And I think it paid off last year, and I think it's even going to be more significant this year. I mean, when you have a roster, I think how ours is built right now, where you have 2 tiers. You have a pretty expensive tier that's in your starters, but you can't have that expensive of a tier as your backups. So you're going to have young guys that can economically fit in the cap as your backups. But the reason you feel so confident about that is because of the coaching staff that we have and how they've developed all these young guys. And, you know, that's I think, why we've been successful, because we can identify these guys, but our coaches across the board, and that starts with our head coach, have done incredible at developing this young talent.
Can you expand on that? Because with the roster you have with some big money contracts, is that just that importance to find, supplement your roster with first contract guys and not have to go out and get maybe that veteran that's a backup that's going to cost you more?
Yeah, no, it's exactly what the thinking is right now. So, you know, every year is a big draft, but the more heavier or front-loaded our roster gets with those big contracts, the more important the backups or the role players that you're hoping are going to develop into starters make a significant difference. And if you do get one of your top-tier guys that you paid a lot of money to hurt, like I said, there's not another high expensive player behind him. Now you got these young guys, and we have the coaching staff that are going to get these guys, young guys, to go out there and perform.
A couple weeks ago, you were all in on the new draft room. What's your early feedback on how that's working?
I would say that the IT people and Paul Nelson and Luke Burson and all the people that went into that, I would consider myself not an IT person, but I know how to break things very easily. Not only IT stuff, a lot of other things. But I haven't been able to break the board. And it's been the biggest thing that I was very nervous about was, this is my first time in I think 30 years that I've never gone without magnets. And so this board has been incredible. And again, all the credit to the Wilfs for giving us the resources to have, you know, such a unique board, which I don't think any other team in the NFL or any other sport has this type of board. It made us so much more efficient. So when we're sitting there and we're working in our areas of the board, and as you know, I work horizontally, so I'm going down to this end and pulling this tag for defensive end. I'm going down to this end and pulling a tag for this running back. Well, it takes me, the way I walk, 10 minutes to do all those tags. Now I'm just pushing things within 30 seconds, and we've been so much more efficient. And the time we've saved by the technology that's in that room has been incredible. Now, you're still going to have to, it all comes down to you making sure you're making the right decisions, but it's freed up more time for us to do film group studies. It's freed up more time for us to do a lot more conversations. Like right now, last year at this time when you have tags, all right, we had to have everything done and finalized by this afternoon because then we're running the tags and putting all the tags up on the board. Dosing up the board a little bit and tweaking the board. So because all you do is just change it and it automatically change, you don't have to run any tags. So it gives us the efficiency has been incredible. The amount of time we save, wasted, has been incredible. Usually we have a big assembly line up there of 10 people doing tags right now, putting them on magnets so they can stick on the board. Now all we're doing is focusing it on this and don't have to waste that time.
Can you get a good tackle in the second round?
Sorry, Sid?
Can you get a good offense tackle in the second round?
If one falls there. So if one falls there, maybe.
Hey, Rick. Those last six quarters, the way that season ended last year, did that affect how you evaluated what you have, what you don't have, heading into the draft? I mean, it's such a small window, you know, compared to the 16 and a half games, how you guys played and then how things ended.
I don't think you measure anything in that shorter window. I think you have to measure the whole season. I think you measure, you know, from first day of your training camp all the way through. I know we didn't play our best football, you know, that last six quarters probably. I know the coaches have went back and hashed through that 100 times on why and what we can do to get better. But I don't think you just put a point of emphasis on that last six quarters.
Rick, where are you getting all the money to sign all these guys? Brzezinski must be just be a whiz.
I would tell you this. Most of the people that work in the football side, from our training staff to the cap people to the analytics people, one thing I learned is hire people that are a lot smarter than you, that are experts in those areas, and then you can orchestrate everything and orchestrate your beliefs and make the final decisions. But when you have experts in those areas that I think are the best in the business, I think it gives you the best opportunity to have success.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just as you approach the draft, do you know if Terrence Newman, is he still a possibility of coming back?
Right now we're focusing on the draft. If there's anything, we'll let you know.
Yeah. I'm just sure it's the way out of here.